Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the worst terrorist attack to ever take place in Egypt has occurred on Friday at a mosque on the Sinai Peninsula. 305 people were killed when around 30 armed gunmen opened fire on worshippers at Friday prayer, reportedly carrying Daesh flags. Stay with us as we take a look at terrorism in Egypt and what it all could mean on this debate. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, activist and political commentator, Mr. Hazem Salem in Cairo, and author and journalist, Mr. Ali Akabani in London. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in London with Mr. Akabani. What do you think in general that we have been seeing an increase in terrorism in Egypt?
You know, terrorist acts are condemned by any person on the whole world, but we have to really think a little bit as to why we can see the failure of the Egyptian army, security forces, the intelligence in combating the terrorist groups in Egypt, and in failing to detect any terrorist act before it happens. And if you can't detect terrorist act before it happens, at least you arrest, follow, and bring to justice those criminal terrorists who committed these atrocious acts. But in all the atrocities of the terror, so-called terrorist act, the Egyptian authorities failed to arrest a single terrorist or name a single person in these acts. The other thing that proves actually a complete failure and lack of efficiency among these forces, and we haven't seen anyone who resigned from the top security officials or top policemen or even the Minister of Defense due to all these failures which Egypt is experiencing every day.
Well, why do you think that that is the case? Why do you think that's the case, Mr. Khatami? Is it that the actually trying to stop this isn't a priority, or there's a lack of coordination? Or why in general, Mr. Khatami, do you think that that's the case?
People are saying because the army is not concentrating its attention to its main job of protecting the Egyptians and protecting the borders and combating the terrorists, but involved in politics and in commercial projects. And the latest was the fish farm, which the president went and launched in Kafr el-Sheikh a few days ago. And the whole of Egypt make big joke out of this involving of the army and high-ranking officers in producing fish.
Okay.
Prawns and etc. etc. This is one thing. The other thing actually is, I'm afraid some other foreign powers are using Daesh as a cover-up, because we heard that this act attacking the mosque was an act of the Israeli Mossad to actually help evacuating the inhabitants of Sinai for reasons which will be known in the near future.
Okay. Well, now that's an interesting point. Mr. Hazem Salem, your perspective on this, because since the 2012 overthrow of President Mohamed Morsi, the number of terrorist attacks in Egypt has actually increased, especially in the Sinai area. Now, our other guest is saying that right now that it's perhaps Mossad-Israeli involvement. Your take on this side of things, what's going on in your perspective?
Well, the fact there are different elements that are helping terrorism and violence to increase. One of them is the political, because of the lack of democracy and lack of freedom of expression and lack of human rights respect in the Egyptian atmosphere as a whole. And this blockade helps to get young people radicalized and get more people angry and ready to be militarized one way or the other. The second element is the economy, and the failing economy, and the situation that is very dire in the economy, and the high cost of living is also making people desperate and making more younger people angry, and they want any venue to express their anger and express that in terms of violence. There is also a social problem because of the economy and the politics, the society is not as coherent as it used to be. There is more polarization at different levels between Muslims and Christians, between different elements of the society on the class level and on the intellectual level. And this is also helping radicalizing more young people. So all elements of politics, economy, and social elements are helping that. And in addition to all that, the heavy use of force in an abrupt way without discrimination and more of a general punishment to the people of North Sinai makes them more accepting the violence against the government and more accepting violence against other groups and other elements of the society. And this is also bringing up more problems. So it's a very complex situation, and you need to have a sound state, a sound political system, a sound economic system, mm-hmm. and an integrity in the society in order to say we don't have terrorism. You gain legitimacy by doing the job of a proper state, saying we have no terrorism because we are a good state. But getting a legitimacy by saying we are confronting terrorism and we should be abrupt, we should be authoritarian, we should be using force all the time, this is not the right way to do things. And this is what is making things escalating in Egypt.
Well, Mr. Al-Kabbani, who are the main residents in general? Who are we talking about in the Sinai Peninsula area?
Rauda village, for example, the whole population is 750 inhabitants. So when we say 300 something were killed today in this massacre in the mosque of Rauda, it means that this is all the men and young men population of the whole village. I agree with Mr. Hazem Salim that the economic problem, the dictatorship in Egypt, and all that lead to radicalizing the young people. But this is not an act of a radical extremist. This is an act of a brutal mercenary to create a chaos and terror and actually distract the attention from the government failure in so many aspects and fields, trying to unify people because the Egyptian army and the Egyptian regime is fighting terrorism. But this, we have to think again, that attacking a mosque, what this terrorist group will gain from killing people who are praying? The Egyptian press are saying that this happened before in Iraq and Syria and other places. Yes, because there is a strife, there is sectarian violence. But in Egypt, there is no sectarian violence. And this is the first time a so-called terrorist group attack a mosque and kill the Muslim prayers in a Friday day. So even Muslim extremists will not do that because they will lose their constituency and they will gain nothing. I know that terrorist acts of terrorism sometimes are aimless and purposeless, but this defeats their own propaganda and their own constituency. So I don't believe actually that it's a terrorist group who committed that. It might be an Israeli group or something to distract the attention from the government of Sisi's difficulties during these days and the fear of a popular uprising in Egypt.
Okay, what about that, Mr. Salem? You heard our guest in London, again, pointing the finger at Tel Aviv. Not likely, he said, to be a terrorist group like Daesh. He said, what about that side of things? We have seen Daesh, though, commit some heinous crimes in so many places and across the world now. Your take on all this, how likely is it that it is Daesh? We have seen Saudi Arabia actually spending a lot of money in Egypt. We have seen Cairo and Riyadh getting closer and closer. And we know that Saudi Arabia is actually the main promoter of the Wahhabi Takfiri ideology. Your take on that?
Well, the fact that there is more of a validity but no authenticity or no proof of the suspicion who did it and who will benefit from it. So who did it? There is no claim of responsibility yet. And who benefit from it? Every side can benefit from it in its own way, whether the government, the military apparatus, the security apparatus, or the Israeli side as well, because the Israelis would be very happy if the whole of Sinai is unstable, if the people of Sinai leave, if there is a new deal, the deal of the century, to move the Palestinians to Sinai. Of course, that happens. And there is also a lot of talk about the connection between Daesh, the West, and Israel, and who benefits from whom, how Daesh was created, what Daesh stands for, and what interest it is serving. Is it some Western interests, or Israeli interests, or Saudi Arabia interests? All these questions remain valid, and it needs more scrutinizing and more analysis. The fact is, the situation is very alarming, and the situation needs more of a less passionate analysis, but more reasonable analysis and more rational analysis, in order to point where are the gates of terror coming, and where are the threats and hazards coming. And it comes only by building a sound society and a sound state and a sound political and economic system. This is not happening in Egypt. This situation of fluidity started in 2013, and it's growing, and the acceleration of this is very high now and will be higher in the future. It is a very alarming situation, of course.
Well, Mr. Kabbani, in your perspective, why do you think that Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's government has gotten so close to Saudi Arabia, which is actually the biggest supporter of extremist groups?
The petrodollar, the economic difficulties in Egypt, and the policy of begging from all the Gulf countries, and Saudi Arabia, when they gave Sisi billions of dollars to solve his problem, they don't do that free of charge, but it's to buy the Egyptian political position and to make the great country of Egypt now a client state to Al Saud. This is the situation. That is why Abdel Fattah al-Sisi now is a follower of the King of Saudi Arabia, or in fact the Crown Prince, who is the actual power in Saudi Arabia today. But we have also to realize that Islam for 15th century didn't have any problem inside the Muslim world and with the outside world. So it's the petrodollar today which is creating all these problems and financing these extremist terrorist groups. We all know for a fact now who established Al-Qaeda, who financed it, and who equipped it, and who trained it: Saudi Arabia and the Americans. The same thing with Al-Nusra and Daesh today. The financing, without doubt, is coming from Gulf states headed by Saudi Arabia, who are supporting all these terrorist groups in Syria and Iraq. And all the weapons discovered with those terrorist groups were American weapons, and they got it through the Gulf states. So it is very clear. And if you want to suffocate these terrorist groups, the solution is very easy. Follow the line of finance, the line of training, and the line of equipping them and giving them arms. Mm-hmm. Also, we all know that these groups don't have an air force. So who actually moved their heavy military equipment from Libya to Syria to Iraq to Sinai? There is a country behind those groups who are giving them all the logistic help and support they need.
Okay, well, Mr. Salem, we know that during the peak of the situation in Syria, that al-Sisi was actually against the militancy there. How likely is he actually paying a price for that side of things and not directly supporting the extremists in Syria?
Well, the situation is different from Egypt, from Syria. And whatever position Egypt takes towards Syria would not immediately affect Egypt, because the Syrian situation is still very inflammatory. The fact is that all political attempts and all reconciliatory attempts have not been successful so far in Syria. And whatever conflict resolution mechanisms used, it is not going anywhere in Syria so far. So it's not like punishing Egypt or Saudi Arabia for certain positions in Syria. And it is more of the flux of violence everywhere in the region, and the anticipation of using violence and using force as a way to make a stance and to serve certain political aims. And this is the way that Saudi Arabia is making a statement in Syria, and this is the way Egypt is making a statement in Sinai. And the point is, the gap between society and state throughout the Arab world is very high. And the more it is happening, the more irrational policies are happening, and the more some countries either help terrorism or advocate the presence of terrorism to get legitimacy of fighting against terrorism. So it's a whole situation of fluidity and a very big gap between state and society, between the political system and the needs of the people. And the lack of this connection, the lack of democracy and an engine for development that is based on the society, not on the prescriptions of the IMF or World Bank, this is the thing that is escalating the situation. And the more the government lacks legitimacy on the political and economic level, it needs legitimacy by just fighting terrorism or even creating terrorism to fight it.
Well, what about that, Mr. Al-Khabani? How likely is it that the Egyptian government perhaps can be involved in this whole thing? Or is it likely that, as you said, these outside entities, perhaps the Zionist Tag-Fury American trio that we have seen so active in this region, are actually the ones behind it? And as you said, that Muslims have been living on side of each other for over 1,300 years and no problem, and then all of a sudden we see this phenomenon that has been taking place in the last few years, and all of this terrorism suddenly appearing in the Muslim world.
Actually, the observer would notice in the last year or so, especially in the last few months, there is friction in foreign policy between Egypt and Saudi Arabia. That difference came with Egypt supporting the Syrian regime for different reasons, because of the relation with Russia, because they don't want an Arab regime to fall, because they don't want the Gulf states headed by Saudi Arabia to have the final word and be a major power, major regional power. So for many reasons, they are taking aside from the Saudi policy in Syria, supporting the Syrian regime. The other thing, they did not want to carry on supporting Saudi Arabia in their aggressive war in Yemen. And now they are asking quietly for Saudi Arabia to end their aggression there. And lately we can see the position of Sisi meeting Saad Hariri and supporting his return as a prime minister in a direct conflict actually with the Saudi policy. So it might be after the defeat of Daesh in Iraq and in Syria, Saudi Arabia is directing their gangs towards Egypt to punish Sisi for change of policy.
Okay, and Mr. Salem, if we look at this situation and now with this, again, this heinous attack taking place, how likely, though, are we going to see now a united element of the Egyptian people against this extremist ideology, against Wahhabism, against Takfiri, when they have seen the results of extremist ideologies, for example, in what happened on Friday in that mosque in the Sinai?
Well, the fact is the Egyptian society in general is very moderate, and it's very tolerant, and it is very against. It's very much against any takfirism or any extremism. But the seeds of all this has been spread in the Egyptian society over the last few years. And the seeds of anger are there, and the seeds of fanaticism is there, and the seeds of all of that has been flourishing in the last 4 or 5 years. So because of this, some of these manifestations start to happen. And the fear is that it might become a pattern, and it becomes repeated not only in the Sinai Peninsula, but elsewhere in the Nile Valley. So we are not hoping for the best, and we are even expecting some problems ahead. Still, people are trying to cultivate the true element of the Egyptian society, which is tolerant and open-minded and very much against violence, and trying to advocate this as a way to counter that kind of ideology. But it's not only about sentiments to counter an ideology, it's the material situation on the ground regarding politics, which becomes democratic, regarding economy, which becomes fair and advocating equality, and regarding society, which becomes less polarized and more harmonized.
Okay.
This is the challenge.
On that note, we're going to have to end. So sorry, we're out of time. I appreciate you being with us, activist and political commentator, Mr. Hazem Salem out of Cairo, and author and journalist, Mr. Ali Akabani out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.